Hello, I'm Nadine Whitney and I'm coming to you from Naarm in Melbourne, Victoria, speaking to you today, tonight, whenever you're listening, about the umbrella release for 2025, Lars and the Real Girl, originally released in 2007, directed by Australian-American Craig Gillespie, who also directed I, Tonya, Cruella, Mr. Woodcock, and a bunch of other films. It's written by scribe of 6 Feet Under, Nancy Oliver, and stars Ryan Gosling as Lars, Paul Schneider as his brother Gus, Emily Mortimer as Lars's sister-in-law, Karen, and a real girl called Bianca. A real girl being a sex doll.
Hey, I have a visitor.
Where did you meet this person?
I met her on the internet.
Yeah, well, everybody's doing that now.
You know, Bianca's, a missionary.
My little brother is crazy, right? I mean, he's crazy.
If I may, he appears to have a delusion.
What the hell is he doing with a delusion?
She loves kids.
Fantastic. When will it be over?
When he doesn't need it anymore.
Lars and the Real Girl is a gorgeously sweet and not at all sickly tale about a man who has suffered a great deal in his life, but quietly. Lars wears the baby blanket his mother must have crocheted for him. We later find out that his mother died giving birth to him, and not post-birth, but during the process. Lars's entire existence has come via grief that he didn't have a chance to express. His older brother, Gus, played by Paul Schneider, who in reality is 4 years older than Ryan Gosling, but in the film there's a sense he's possibly about 6 years older than Lars, left home as soon as he could, abandoning both Lars and his permanently grieving father, who has since passed away. Gus returned to the small, and I'm going to guess possibly Minnesotan or Wisconsin, town with his wife Corinne, a lovely Emily Mortimer. When they arrived, Lars moved out of the main house immediately and into the garage, and spends most of his time trying to avoid Karen and Gus. Karen's pregnancy and the arrival of a new co-worker, Margot, seem to be the catalyst for Lars to buy a real doll, which is a sex doll, who he calls Bianca. She's half Brazilian and half Danish, and he shapes her into his entirely pure girlfriend. Bianca was raised by nuns, and she's a missionary worker taking a break to see the world. Bianca is, as imaginatively, miles away from her initial purpose as a sex doll. Although Lars knows that's what her original purpose was, he did order her from a site that was quite explicit about that. He has imaginatively remade her, not in a Pygmalion and Galatea paranoi, but more into someone he can love, be loved by, and can also represent him. After all, he's the one speaking for her. As his GP and psychologist, Dagmar, played by Patricia Clarkson, works out, Lars's delusion is of him working some stuff out. It is couched in terms of mental illness, but I think that's just for ease of communicating what is a form of autism in 2007, where we weren't speaking about it as often. Lars doesn't like to be touched, he doesn't like loud noise, he finds humans confusing, and he can construct a hyperfocus so intense that he falls for a doll. And in doing so, works out what it means to enter the typical world through advanced play and shared communication. It's an overwhelmingly sweet and kind movie. How can people not adore Lars? After all, he's always been quietly there. And Bianca becomes the town's way of not only fully embracing Lars, but embracing themselves and their own Midwestern oddities. The purpose of this conversation with myself is not so much to review the film, but I will say it is delightful and I highly recommend it to everyone and anyone. It's PG rated, so, you know, there's nothing particularly shocking about it. But I'd like to actually speak about the Umbrella release itself. Now, I have the deluxe edition, which comes with the DVD, which is a Blu-ray, with extras, including a booklet and the requisite six stills from the film. But I'd like to speak about the extras particularly. On the disc, there is a couple of documentaries, not so much documentaries, extras about the film, where you have Gillespie, Ryan Gosling, Paul Scheider, Emily Mortimer, Patricia Clarkson, and the author of the screenplay discussing the film and how they had to deal with Bianca the doll and the very idea of putting this film together. Because when you say, here is a film about a man who falls in love with a sex doll, you're expecting something quite different to what you eventually get in Lars and the Real Girl. So there are two pieces discussing that on the disc, and if you don't want to listen to those, they are reiterated in the booklet, which is in an essay titled About the Story, which is essentially what they've said in the extras typed out. There are also, within the production notes section, the same thing happens, which leads us on to the other essays in the booklet. There is one by Digby Horton, which I found to be insufficient in both its prowess and its critical approach. Digby decided to speak about, or write about, sorry, the idea of manifest destiny in America, which was essentially the justification for America to expand its territories and Europeanize them. It is seen most predominantly when you're in sort of the Mexican Texas area and with Alaska. But I think that it is a bit of a stretch to apply this to a Midwestern town, with the exception of the fact that most people in this town do have Scandinavian-Swedish surnames, which is very common in a place like Minnesota. I've lived there. It is like that. So I read through this and I didn't find that he justified the angle he was coming from, except to say that the town is quite Christian, which is true of much of America, much of white America. And then essentially drops the whole notion and goes into a bit of a a wiki on the people involved in the film, which is pretty easy to find out anyway, and then comes back again and tries to again force the film into this manifest destiny framework, speaking about how Midwestern America is inextricably connected to Christianity and its principles. And these notions are used as undercurrents in Lars and the Real Girl as the townsfolk commit to Lars's delusion and embrace his oddities. This is also an evocation of a different era of the early internet, where notions of community were becoming questioned. I'm really not sure how that works in terms of his framework. So I think that doesn't particularly really add to the knowledge about the film. And then there's a much better essay called Beyond the Doll, The Enduring Charm and Subtle Depth of Lars and the Real Girl. And that is just essentially, you know, a lovely little essay saying, isn't the film great? And this is why it's so charming, which, you know, you can work out by watching it itself, because that it is. On the disc, there's an interesting essay by Dr. Josh Nelson, which relates Lars and the Real Girl to the Pygmalion myth, and talks about created statues brought to life and dolls brought to life within cinema. It's not a very long essay and easy to digest. And you have a commentary track by Melbourne-based critic Thomas Caldwell, which is quite good, but suffers a little from the fact that he is doing it on his own. And as you can probably tell by what I'm going through right now, talking on your own for a while can be quite difficult. It's good to have someone to bounce off and someone to clean up your ideas and work backwards and forwards with. And I find I enjoy combined commentaries more than a single commentary, unless, of course, it is from a director or an actor involved in the making of the film. That's not to say Thomas's commentary is bad. It is not. It is quite good. I just feel that it would have been brightened up, perhaps, if there was someone else involved. So I guess the main question here for people who want to purchase the film is, do they go for the box set edition with the extras and the booklet and the cards, or do they go for the standard edition? I will say that the artwork is extraordinary on the box set. The new illustrations by Loopy Dave and integrated by graphic designer Stephanie Viola are wonderful. The art cards, I really would have liked to have seen more of Loopy Dave's illustrations integrated onto the art cards instead of stills from the film. And the booklet itself, I don't know if it's precisely one of the most necessary releases that Umbrella have put out in terms of supporting material for a film. I think you get as much information as you need on the disc itself, which will have Josh Nelson's essay and Thomas Caldwell's commentary, as well as the deleted bathtub scene and the 2 to 3 small production background notes. So I personally would put my money towards perhaps a more exciting collector's edition that Umbrella has to offer, rather than Lars and the Real Girl, and just go for the standard edition. Hopefully it comes with the slipcase, which is gorgeous. I really must say that these Lupi de Haver illustrations are wonderful, and they really do feel very, very Midwestern indeed. So my end judgment is the film itself, brilliant. It's always a joy to watch. Ryan Gosling gives one of the most tender and vulnerable performances, comedic performances, that I have seen from him. And, you know, this is 2007. This was before huge Ryan had taken off. So, you know, he was able to put on a bit of weight for this film and be slightly pudgy and have, you know, dirty hair and not particularly flattering clothes. But, you know, that's small town Midwest. Anyway, and, you know, Patricia Clarkson is fantastic. Emily Mortimer, you know, it's a joy of a film. So definitely pick it up for the film itself. Umbrella's scan is clear. It's not a 4K scan. It's just a DVD, not DVD, sorry, Blu-ray. But it's good quality. So that is my review of the disc set of Lars and the Real Girl. Andrew will be joining me at some point and we'll be discussing other Umbrella titles. So I would say that the film itself is definitely a 4.5 out of 5. The box set is great for the art, okay for the booklet. I'm not entirely sure why we have art cards showing the same images that are already in the film. You do get a poster which is reversible with the new artwork in the cartoon style by Loopy Dave, and the original poster itself. But honestly, I think that with the special features on the disc itself, I don't think you really need the deluxe edition unless you're a collector or you're particularly fond of the new poster work. So thank you very much for listening.